desert skies have long looked down on travelers who, like the patriarchs of old, gaze back into the night sky, trying to visualize the promises made to them by an eternal God. Promise of the future, promise of provision, wisdom, and guidance.
Orion, the great hunter about to slip under the horizon. This is amazing. And that night, it had to have looked just like this, yet somehow, in the midst of all these points of light, somebody saw something different.
Am I the only one to notice? There! It stands. It shines. All the heavens travel past on their journey to the dawn, yet you alone stand fixed against the sky. You're unlike any of the stars Melchior taught us to know and name. Aldebaran and Taurus the Bull. Antares, the Red Heart of Scorpio. Betelgeuse and Orion. But you, who are you? By what name should men call you?
God, if you're really up there, and if you really care the way you say you do, man, I can't even look at the night sky without thinking about Carlyle. You remember him? Mr. A-plus science project, little Kenny with his own telescope? Tell me, was what happened to him some kind of cosmic mistake? All I know is, the story says a long time ago, guys a lot smarter than me stared up at these night stars and claimed you gave him guidance. After everything I've seen, I'm not sure what I believe. In a few weeks, my tour ends, I ship out to go back home, and I have no idea what I'm going to say to anybody about anything, especially Mrs. Carlyle. Hardest part's going to be that last 20 feet of sidewalk up to her door.
You have done well, my young Mordecai. Very well indeed.
Melchior, all I did was point out the one star that didn't move with all the others.
The eyes of the young prove far more observant than those accustomed to candle and manuscript.
How does it stand still in the heavens when all the other stars sweep across the sky from dusk to dawn? Even the sun and moon must travel. But that one star
stands above the horizon as if to say, come.
You're sure of the prophecies?
As sure as you can be, comparing the writings of the ancients. It foretells something important.
Balthasar thinks it's the star of a king. He and Taspar actually want to go into the west. They want to leave here with no more idea than that there's...
I intend to journey as well.
You? You're too...
Too old? You think adventures are just for the young? I've waited all my life for something like this.
You'd leave your home. Your position.
My position? Someone filled my position long before me. And I'm sure there are numerous others just waiting to step forward if we don't return.
We?
You wouldn't want your favorite tutor traveling alone now, would you?
But we don't know where we're going.
There is our signpost. And if the prophecies are accurate, we have a destination. Jerusalem. It is written, a star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel. Now, you may be looking at the star of the King of the Jews, our true King.
It's easy to forget.
Forget what? That our ancestors chose not to return to Israel with Ezra and Nehemiah? No matter their decision, we are still sons of a land that we haven't seen. And the star of her new King now beckons. When the God of our father Abraham calls, how can we not obey? It hangs there, unmoving in the heavens, upheld by the power of God. A summons painted with light across the desert sky. We must obey. We must go. We leave tomorrow evening. Be ready.
God of my fathers, God who speaks with light that pierces the darkness of night.
Even though I fear the journey, and I have no idea what to do,
where I'll go,
what I believe,
even when I don't understand,
I must go.
Underneath a sky of mystery,
with an awful ache inside,
a thousand questions in my mind, a journey starts that takes me far from home.
I'll cross the distance into the unknown,
looking high above, searching for a sign,
looking deep within and searching far behind. I want to know what is real, what's true,
and what the next step brings.
Longing, praying for a clue,
searching for a king.
Across the centuries, the same soldiers that served their nations in time of war occasionally become inadvertent tourists in the places they serve, even in the nations of the great Asian desert.
OK, Okay, it says you are now standing on the remains of what is believed to be a late Babylonian era ziggurat. What you said. It is on a zucchini similar to this that the alleged astrologers known as the Magi.
Magi.
Yeah, whatever, magpies. First saw the astronomical phenomenon.
Ooh, big word, five syllables.
What?
Astronomical. I'm impressed, Jess.
You do remember I outrank you?
Yeah, what you said.
Yeah. Back to the pamphlet. The astronomical phenomenon that would later be known as the Bethlehem Star. You still believe all that stuff?
What? That we're actually standing in
All the whole church thing. Angels, shepherds, baby in a manger, magpies.
Magi.
Gotcha. But you know what I'm talking about. After all we've seen, after all we've lost.
Taking some kind of like online counseling course like GI Therapy 101 or...
Nah, FedEx wouldn't deliver the couch. Said the location's too dangerous. But anyway, back to you. You're going to be home in time for Christmas. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Let's just say that the events of the last few months have really made me question a lot of things.
Well, yeah, there's not a soldier anywhere who hasn't questioned their own intelligence. Me? My moment came early, right after that first meal at boot camp.
This is a little bit bigger than, like, what was I thinking when I enlisted?
Ooh, you're talking the big stuff.
Yeah. Questions only God can answer if he's really there and actually cares the way he says he does.
God-sized questions. Well, personally, I'm not much of a big picture kind of gal, but that should be obvious because I'm here and I outrank you.
I mean, I guess it all kind of comes down to Kenny. Like, why him? He was the one guy in our outfit that actually had a plan. You could tell he had purpose. He was going somewhere. It all just changed in an instant. Now, how do I go home and look in the eyes of my best friend's mom and say, sorry, it wasn't me? The C student who never owned a telescope survived while your son happened to be standing in the wrong place. I mean, Jess, he died. I walked away without a scratch, and he laid there face down in the street.
I know, Benjamin. I'm sorry.
I mean, how fair is that? Did God miss? Did Kenny catch a shrapnel that was supposed to be for me?
You know what? The Carlisles. They've had some time to think about it.
Yeah, they've had time to come up with questions that I can't answer. Questions I'm not even sure have answers.
Well, you know what? One time I looked at Kenny, and you, for that matter, and I thought to myself, there are two guys who have hope, even in this place.
Look at it. Hot, dry, dusty. I'm not sure there is ever any hope in this place.
Thank you.
Benjamin, you're cutting your departure home pretty close, aren't you? How many shopping days is it till Christmas?
It's not my timing. Some clerk in Baghdad with an air conditioner far better than the one I sleep under finally typed the name Benjamin Harris into his computer that talked to another computer in Europe. That computer talked to the big one in D.C., and bottom line, I'm on a commercial flight flying standby. Soon I'll be sitting in a marvel of modern aviation technology next to some 300-pound guy in a desert designer robe straight out of Ben-Hur.
Lovely.
Yeah. Well, in the interest of international relations, I'll offer him my undersalted peanuts. The honey-roasted ones? I'll stay a little closer to home.
You still worried about Kenny's family?
I can't get him out of my mind. You know, he was smart, but such a goofball. His mother still directs the children's choir at our church. Long time ago, it seemed there was a certain 5-year-old named Kenny who sang way too loud, was always a little off-key, and kept getting into trouble. For some reason, his mom got drafted to direct the choir, and, well, redhead kids can never catch a break.
Did she make him star of the show?
Are you kidding me? Whether she planned it or not, Kenny was the show. No matter where she put him, shepherd, wise man, angel, sheep.
What? Sheep?
Redheaded sheep are very popular in biblical times. Didn't they teach you anything in Sunday school?
I think I slept in that day.
Yeah, well, everyone in the church always ended up talking about Kenny. Even after he got into middle school and high school, he'd still somehow show up somewhere in the nativity scene. You'd see all these cute little kids in their little Bible outfits and this one redheaded goofball in a bathrobe standing behind them. It's a small church, so Kenny in the stable kind of became one of our Christmas traditions.
The kids didn't mind?
Oh, my gosh. They wanted him there. Man, he loved kids. Over here, he was always one of the first guys out of the Hummer to walk up to a kid on the side of the street, offer him some gum or candy, or he was down on one knee talking to a little girl when
Oh, Benjamin, I'm sorry. I didn't mean
no,
to.
No, Jess, honestly, it's okay. I'd rather remember my best friend in his Bible bathrobe outfit than what was left of that soldier in the street.
Mm. You're going to be able to talk to his mom?
I mean, who else can? You ever prayed, Jess? I haven't been hearing anything from God recently, and honestly, after everything I've been through and seen, I'm not sure what to believe anymore.
I'd like to think that he answers prayer.
Yeah, well, I've been asking him for answers to a lot of questions, and I don't know what to believe anymore.
There's no question. It's disappeared. Do you see it?
You're asking these old eyes?
If it truly heralded a king.
If. If? Is the word if even in the vocabulary of faith? It is there. I'm moving in the heavens. God revealed its meaning. Now, we travel in search of a king.
What do you say to a king?
A wise man once said, "Let your words be few in the presence of the king. Our presence will say more than flowery words that evaporate even as you speak them."
I'm afraid I'll look like a fool.
God has called us, protects us. He sent a star to summon us. Now, it is but a small thing for him to give speech to the stuttering tongue.
The unexpected, the unanticipated, the unknown. How often we demand the broad, well-mapped, fully lit road when God expects the single, small step of faith on the path illuminated only by His Word. In a world jaded by spectacle, God chose to speak with simplicity. It should be no surprise. Shepherds were chosen to hear the mystery of the ages, now revealed in a manger in Bethlehem.
I'm not sure I can tell you any more details. It all happened so fast that it's a little bit blurry, but I really don't think that he,
It's okay, Benji. I got all the basic information from your captain.
Thomas.
Yes, Captain Thomas. He sent us a letter, and, you know, it sounded like he knew Kenny, like he really cared for him.
It's kind of hard not to like Kenny.
And he died with a child.
Yes, ma'am. They warn us to be careful over there, but sometimes when you see the poverty in the streets or a kid on the side of the road crying, you feel like you have to do something.
You know, at least it's a little better knowing that Kenny was, he was trying to help her. You know, no mother wants to send her son to war.
If it makes you feel any better, he believed in what we were doing.
What makes a difference to me is that he was doing what came second nature to him, trying to help someone else.
Yes, ma'am. Mrs. Carlisle, you seem kind of, well...
You thought you'd see me dressed in black, crying my eyes out over my lost son.
Ma'am, I didn't mean anything by it.
Trust me, Benji. I have shed the tears. I've faced the long nights. I've cried myself into some kind of exhausted oblivion more times than I can count or care to remember. I've faced the neighbors who didn't know what to say, the friends who didn't know when to shut up. It all hurts. It still hurts. But God managed somehow to give me a little peace.
Peace? Peace? Your son came home in a
box? Believe me, I'm very familiar with that phrase. I wept in front of that box. I cried my heart out to God. And when the rifle salute started and the bugler played, I cried all over that flag. And you know what? I didn't care who saw me or what they thought of me. But you know, what I didn't realize was that God was already speaking. It's just at first, I didn't want to hear what he had to say.
What did he say?
He showed me the futility of my dreams. You know, the pettiness of my desires, all against the background of his purpose.
Your dreams?
You know, a husband, a house, two kids, two cars. All the things that really seem so important until... Well, God showed me. Kenny's death did matter. It had meaning.
Yeah, and that's what I can't get my mind wrapped around.
You know, I keep this letter, I keep it with me all the time, just in case I start to feel like I'm going to have one of those weepy moments. You know, when I think I'm going to lose it. It came about a week or two before, well, let me tell you what Kenny wrote. He said, "Mom, the only way anyone ever here will ever hear the gospel is to see it lived out before them, even if it's in the life of an American soldier. In this hot, dry desert, Jesus wants me to hand out living water, one cup at a time, one person at a time. So you see, Benji, to that little girl, it might have been just a stick of gum or a piece of candy. But in the eyes of heaven, it was a taste, a small taste of living water."
I'm glad you feel that way, but I still don't think it was worth it. It's going to take me a while before I get to that destination.
That's okay. I understand. You know, I decided not to direct the children's program this year. It was a little too...
Folks are going to understand.
But you know, as a result, there wasn't anyone there to teach the children their music. So the pastor decided to do a nativity with the children on the front lawn of the church. And yet here I am making cookies. You know what's going to be hard about tonight?
What's that?
Not seeing Kenny somewhere up there in that scene. Last time he shot up as a cow.
I guess it's okay to tell you now that I gave him that idea.
Benjamin, you?
Yeah. I was at the store and I found this preschool cow flashlight, and every time you opened his mouth to turn on, it would move. I couldn't resist.
Every time the kids heard that move, they giggled. Listen, you confess to anything more and I'm not going to save you any cookies.
Yeah, well, it's okay because I like the dough.
Oh, Benjamin. So did Kenny.
God pierces the darkest night with the light of His grace. When all seemed hopeless and lost, He provided His very presence in the form of a baby. Emmanuel was more than a name. The God of eternity had stepped into time and space, and as He opened His infant eyes for the first time, He gazed into the eyes of a young mother He had known before the foundation of the world.
He looks into the mother He created. Mary holds her tiny son with hands that He has formed.
Every heart she feels inside is a breath that He has given. She's humbled as His little hands reach out to touch her face. This is God. This is God. This is God. This is God.
He cries out in the night with a voice that spoke creation. He looks up at the stars. He Himself once set in place.
Every breath His mother breathes is a breath that He has given. She's humbled as His little hands reach out to touch her face. This is God. 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 Though we have only heard story,
we are still forever changed.
Like the ones who worshipped on that first night, we believe,
we believe,
we proclaim, this is God. God, this is God.
This is God.
This is God.
This is God. This is God. This is
And on our journey, sometimes there's an unexpected turn in the road.
Well, that was embarrassing.
We did what was customary. Why wouldn't you go into the capital, find the palace, and ask where the newborn king is?
And no one seemed to notice that the man on the throne wasn't, let's see, how shall we put it? Oh, I know, not of the line of David. Small matter. He was only put there by Rome itself.
It was unsettling.
I talked to some of the servants. Did you know that he executed his own sons for high treason? Not to mention a lot of other people.
The blood of innocence. Many thrones have been established and maintained by cruelty, and his is no different.
But we happen to be quaking in fear before that throne.
But he did help us.
After you put me in front of him.
He wanted to know when the star appeared, and who better to tell him than the one who first saw it?
And who better than to execute than little Mordecai if he decided he didn't like the answer?
Enough. We have a destination. His counselors found the scrolls and read the words of the prophets. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you will come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.
Did you believe the rest of his request?
About sending word back so he could worship as well?
He didn't strike me as the worshiping type.
Nor me.
Melchior, look! The star! It's reappeared!
And you were worried.
On the roadmap of God the Father, all roads lead to the manger. There, weary travelers find truth incarnate. They can see with their own eyes God's answer to the deepest problems of every heart. There, on the level floor of a stable, the rich knew the poor, the wise with the humble, and the cry of the newborn babe in the stillness of the night heralds the dawn of grace.
To pay homage to a king.
And thus you shall.
A king born in a stable?
You need to remember the words of Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
The great thoughts of God are to be found in a manger.
When we kneel down here, we worship more than the thought of God. We worship God Himself. Mordecai, my young friend, you are most blessed.
Me? Blessed?
In the closing years of my life, the God of our fathers has allowed me to see the birth of His Son, our King. But you, my young Mordecai, your life will serve Him. My life is but a stepping stone for you. In many ways, it is more important for you to be here than I. Come, it is time.
You know, I'm really glad we came. I didn't want to come. But now, seeing the children...
Now I know why I had to be here. Why I had to come tonight.
Benji.
I have to stand in for a buddy who didn't make it back.
Benji, wait.
Why?
If you want to stand in for Kenny, you can't just go charging up there into a group of children. There's more that you need to do.
Ma'am?
Do you remember running the varsity track with Ken?
Sure, we were unbeaten in the 4x400 relay.
Every race, what happened?
I ran the second leg, or Kenny ran the second leg, and then he'd hand the baton off to me.
And when Kenny handed that baton off to you, the race wasn't over yet, was it?
Of course not. I had to run my lap and then hand off to the guy running the anchor leg.
Well, Kenny committed to a very different kind of race. He took up the baton of faith that had been passed down through the centuries from one child of God to the next. He didn't have long to run that race, but I believe he ran it with all his heart. So if you want to make his life have worth and meaning, take up that baton of faith. Go. Stand. Serve in the place of God's choosing. And just as Kenny cheered you on in that track, he'll be doing the same thing with all the other witnesses in heaven. They'll be cheering and applauding you as you do God's work of grace in and through you to a thirsty world.
For some, the journeys of Christmas end in joy. Friendships are sweeter. Family ties become stronger. New memories are created. And some of the old ones of friends and family find their way to new, younger ears. For others, there may be a twinge of sadness. A few may find they've allowed anguish of loss or the overwhelming cares of life to cast shadows across their lives. But to all, the message of Christmas is clear and rings across the ages. Unto you is born the Savior, Christ the Lord.